A dwelling place for God. Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 to 29. As we continue our study in this series of messages, Beginnings of the Hebrew Nation. Two thoughts for our consideration. Commandment to offer and consecrated to offer. Verse 4 to 20 and verse 21 to 29. Israel began their journey with the commandment to build a house for the visible dwelling of God with them. To build a house. Have you had the experience of building a house? Wow, you first have to have the design, the blueprint for the house, right? Then you need to make sure that you get all the approval that you need. Before the construction can even start. And then you need to find the right people who would be able to provide the material and the skills that is needed for the building. A lot of work. And during the construction itself, to be able to know, well, if things are going the way that is stipulated, Israel will begin their first construction project. The first building plan for the nation. And so God said the tabernacle was to be built. The blueprint was to be given, and it was time for them to rise up and build. It was to be the concerted effort of every Israelite called out of Egypt and now consecrated to the worship of their God according to his stipulations. Why is it that God instructed that everyone must have a part in it? Because in the worship of God, each one of us must approach God on our own. Each one of us special, unique, a priest before God, special people. And God wants each one of us to render a sweet savour to him by a sacrifice on our part, a personal sacrifice. We do not say, hey, when it comes to sacrifice, let others do it. Not me. I don't want to sacrifice. I just want to enjoy and be a partaker. But when it comes to work, when it comes to sacrifice, stay very far from me. That's not how it should be. And if you look at Israel, right, when they came out of Egypt, God instructed them to speak to the Egyptians before the last plague so that it will be given them the materials needed for the building of the tabernacle. So God had already anticipated what they needed, and he asked them to ask the Egyptians, right? They can't give what they don't have. They can only give what they have. And what they have, well, God already knows they have a need for them, and God provided for them. So it's so happy, isn't it, that God provided for us what we need. Even before we ask it, right? God knows what we need. And God provides for each one of us. So we see here a wonderful development, how they began the construction of the tabernacle. We understand God's careful thoughts to equip his people with the wherewithal to serve him. We want to serve God. It requires that, you know, we must also have the means in that sense. So God provided them the means for service. Right? And as you think of it, what foresight and foreknowledge and wisdom of God. Right? But God also used them as laborers in Egypt. What did they do in Egypt? Well, they were building Pharaoh's cities. They were not sitting idle doing nothing. Although they were not given their rightful wages for their work. When you are engaged in a work, you expect that, you know, you would get your remunerations for all the work that you have put in. Right? But for them, well, they were not treated like that. They were not getting the remunerations that they deserved. And it was without rest, and life was so difficult. So when they cried out to God, God delivered them. And when God asked them to leave Egypt, God told them that God wants them to go out of Egypt so that they would be able to find a place whereby there would be no idols. Right? Egypt is surrounded by idols. God would bring them to a place where they would be free from the idolatry. And, you know, before this, we were talking about idolatry, right? Moses was up in the mount, and they were so, the idols were, you know, no longer something that is held in their hand, but the idols was in their heart. And what did they do? Well, they built that idol in their heart into a reality. A golden calf came out. So you see, Israel and the people of God, we know that God is truly the God, because He's the one who created us and sustained us. He's the one who gives us everything. How can we shift our devotion? Not right, right? Not right. So when they came out of Egypt, God said to them that I will be with you to help you. I will dwell with you. So now you build a dwelling place for me, for my presence. And the Hebrew slaves, while they were still slaves, if they had not been guided by God, you know, to talk to the Egyptians, to ask them, they would not have the materials needed. And so God said to them in Exodus 11, verse 1 to 3, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more unto Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of his neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So here you see God told them already, right, that before you go out, instruction will be given that you have to go to your neighbor, the Egyptians, and lend from them. And they would be able, they would give you willingly at that time. And so after God passed the instruction, you know, it is God who helped us to get wealth, you know, right? We think that we have wisdom, it's up to us. No, it's not up to us. It is God. And we need to trace everything that we have, that God brings our way, that He is there doing it, helping us. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 37, is described for us what happened. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not an house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, "Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as ye have said. And also take your flock and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be dead, we be all dead men. And the people took their dove before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders, and the children did according, watch this, did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and so they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. God had to provide. If he had not given them the wisdom to ask of the Egyptians, where will the needful material come? So Exodus 12:29-37 provided the testimony of God moving the Israelites to obediently ask, and for the Egyptians to generously, graciously and willingly give. So he described that they spoiled the Egyptians. Right? It's an interesting out of the text. It tells us they lend unto them such things as they required. So although at this juncture all the Israelite camp, including Moses, had not been given the instruction for the building of the tabernacle. Now, it's only in Mount Sinai, when Moses was in the mount, that God gave him the instruction to build the tabernacle, that he needs all this material, right? This was before all these instructions were given. So God had already knew that they have this need at that time. And therefore, God had planned for them. What a great God we have, right? What a good God we have. He knows your need. And he provide for them, think for you on your behalf before you know it. So, you know, as God's children, we are very, very privileged people. God is the one who provided for us. And let us not veer away from him. You know, veer away from him. So the word spoiled, literally in the intensive, what we call the Hebrew PL stem of the verb, means to strip off, right? To strip off. So it's a very word that has a lot of intensive action, right, to it. To strip off. So there was a literal transfer of wealth from Egypt to Israel. From the master to the slaves. Right? There was a transfer of wealth that night. Okay. The word there means they were stripped off. They spoiled the Egyptians. Okay. So that's where they get the materials from. Right? Although they haven't known that they have to build the tabernacle. Right? So God takes care of us before we even know it. We have a need. Before you have a need, God already knows, right, what is the need that you have. So if you have a God, you know, if God takes care of us so wonderfully well, then, you know, should we fret? Right? Should we, you know, think that we want to have our own way all the time? No. Right? We should just happily follow. Right, happily follow the Lord. Right? The Lord will take care. Right? That, you know, will God not help? Will God not provide? Of course He will. Right? We recall it was Israel, right, who benefited from the Egyptians when they first came to Egypt to dwell in Goshen with Pharaoh's blessing. You remember? Joseph was the prime minister at that time. And at that time, God said to Pharaoh, or God gave a dream to Pharaoh, that there would be 7 years of famine. So there's going to be disaster coming in Egypt. And God gave to Joseph the interpretation of the dream so that Pharaoh would be able, by the wisdom that God endowed upon Joseph, to stall up grain for 7 years during the 7 years of plenty. So in Egypt, there was food. Whereas in all the lands there was famine. You see, when you're with God, you walk with God, God takes care of you so well, right? But if we choose to walk out, you know, walk our way, we think that we know better, then at the end, we will suffer. That is the plight of the Egyptians. Well, for God, He knows. He knows how to take care of us. So, the Lord, in return for all the services that Joseph rendered as Prime Minister to Egypt, allow his Joseph's father, Israel or Jacob, with 70 of his brethren, children and grandchildren to come and stay in this fertile land called Goshen, a piece of real estate for shepherds. And there, it was there they dwell, and it was there for 400 years. They multiplied to become a great people. So the hospitality of the Egyptians ran out when the new Pharaoh arose, who knew not Joseph. Remember when Joseph died, he asked them to bury him in Egypt. Right? We were mentioning about that. Right? That, you know, at least there is some influence. They look at the tombstone, they know that this was the Prime Minister. Right? He had contributed to did good for the nation, and these are his people. Well, the new Pharaoh that arose didn't know Joseph, and so the Israelites, soon multiplying in number, was seen as a threat to the Egyptians, and so they began to make their life difficult, make them to be slaves, and that's where, well, the Lord said to them that it's time for you to go. It's time for you to leave Egypt. Right? So from the status of honored guests, they became hated squatters in Egypt. There was no accident. The time has come that they will have to leave Egypt en route to the promised land, to Canaan, the land of flowing with milk and honey. And they are now a people, albeit without a home. Right? They are a people without a home. So here, two thoughts we said. A commandment to offer, consecrated to offer. 4 to 20, 21 to 29. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. And so God, the Lord, Moses, through Moses, conveyed his command to all the congregation of the children of Israel to bring a willing offering to be brought to God. You see, God always do not bind our will. Right? Do not bind our will. But He always would want us to serve Him voluntarily. Serve Him willingly. And the blessing is ours. You see, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The blessing is ours when we serve. And the Lord wants us to be willing. Right? Because we will be the one who will benefit from it. Right? Right? All the rewards will come to you for your service for the Lord. And so, here, the word offering, is the word that means to lift up. Right? The basic idea in this word, something being lifted up. An offering to be dedicated. What is dedicated? A tribute, a contribution for the Lord, for sacred use. Right? The tabernacle is to be a sacred place, right, by which God, from which God will dwell with His people. So they wanted, you know, that God wanted to help them to see His presence with them. So He instructed them to build this tabernacle so that, you know, in it He will manifest His presence, and so that the people will know that they are not alone. You are facing this brave new world, not alone. But you are, God is with you. Right? The presence of God can be seen. So God instructed them to build the tabernacle. He did not ask them to do something that is beyond them. Right? He already provided for them. So all he wanted to do was ask them to, well, give what God had given to them. They were stewards, all right, of what God had given to them. They were not the owners. So God wants us to know, and God wants us to be blessed of Him, you see. And Israel needed to learn this lesson well. Okay, these offerings will consist the materials for the building of the tabernacle. It was to be a willing offering. Our giving, our service should always be voluntary and ungrudging. William MacDonald. Voluntary and ungrudging. Right? What God gives to us, or what we do for God, right, must be something that comes from a cheerful heart. Say, Lord, give me a happy spirit to come for Bible study today. Right, to serve Thee today. Give me a happy spirit to do something for You today. In the 24 hours You have given me, or in the 8 hours or 9 hours, waking hours You have given me. So the Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth concerning the principle of giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, he says, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." So you realize that God, a giver, will always be provided before they can give, right? We can't give if we are not provided for. Right? And so God will provide the giver with what he needs to give. And so what God gives to us, we know that, yeah, it's for a purpose. You see, it's for a purpose. It's for a blessing that God would give to us. Right? Indeed, if God had not laid up for them, for us, we would not have lifted it up to Him in worship, right? If God had not laid it up for us, we could not have lifted it up to Him in worship. So Israel was exhorted not to forget it is God who gave them the power to get wealth. And for the abundance that God had bestowed upon them, He sought in them a thankful heart, a heart of thanksgiving for them as a devotion and worship to their God. Right? For that, in their giving, Deuteronomy 8, 17 to 18, "And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto your fathers, as it is this day." So Deuteronomy 8:18 was given to Israel before they entered the promised land, so that they may remember God is the one that prospered their ways by giving them the health they needed, the strength they needed, that they may have the strength to labor and get wealth. So He is the one that sends the rain and ripens the harvest. All that they have comes from the good hand of God. So Israel is asked to acknowledge God as the giver of wealth, tracing all wealth to God and doing His good will for your life. So it is God who provides and sustains us by blessing us with jobs and wages for our labor. And we are to acknowledge that He is sovereign in giving us jobs, and we are to, in quietness, work and eat our bread. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. And therefore, we must never be so busy making a living that you forget to make a life. Right? You are a child of God, and God has a plan for you to serve Him. You are a steward of the material possessions that God gives to you for His honor and for His glory. And therefore, we must know the purpose, right, for the exercise of giving. And so Moses gave this explanation. Why we give? Why we give? Right? Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 to 23. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose to place His name there, and tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. So what is the purpose of tithing, of giving? That we may learn the fear of God. It is in the fear of God that we give. That we are not the masters, but God is. There was a spontaneity in their giving to the building of the tabernacle, just as the time of the infant church, right? Acts 4:32-35. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands, of houses, sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So there was that understanding, right, that all these material possessions are just temporal possessions, that God wants us to use it as a good steward for Him. So the attitude was different when Israel returned to the land after 70 years of captivity. Remember, they were deported out of the land, right? They refused to let the land rest. Right, even on the seventh year, they continue to work their land. So for 70 times of the seventh year, they missed doing that. Right? They worked the land, and they continue to work the land. They forgot, right, that God is the one who gave them. You see, right? They lose their sight of God. They lose sight of the fear of God. They lose sight of their dependence on God. You see, when we lose sight of our dependence on God, that's a frightening thing, you know. We think that we are really smart enough, you know. Very frightening. And God doesn't want us to live like that, behave like that. No. We think we know already. No. Let us humble ourselves. Right? Humble ourselves. And the attitude was different when Israel returned to the land after 70 years of captivity. There was a coldness in the heart of the people toward the giving for the rebuilding of the second temple. Right? There was a coldness in the heart of the people. The returnees were exhorted by Haggai to build a temple and that has stalled for 15 years. And the admonition from the man Haggai was this, right? Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your silent houses and this house lie waste? Right? You build your own house. What about the house of God? Have you neglected? Have you robbed God? Ah, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag of with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? The Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon the man, upon the cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. So the returnees labored for physical prosperity for the past 16 years, and yet not prospering. The Lord had withheld His blessing because their desire for material prosperity, right? They were hoarding for themselves, hoarding and hoarding for themselves, at the expense of fulfilling God's will for your life, for their life. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thy increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Not only Haggai, but Zechariah also sounded the alarm to awaken them out of their slumber before judgment comes. The Great Commission is yet unfinished. There is work to be done. May the Lord help us. Let this be our prayer, not to build our own home at the expense of His kingdom. Verse 5, right, at the end. Bring the gold, the silver, the brass, the purple, the blue, the scarlet, the fine linen, the goat's hair, the ram's skin, the dyed red, the badger's skin, the shittim wood. So God was very specific. Right? The instruction needed, what God wanted for the building of the tabernacle, the materials were all stipulated. And these were the materials that God had already given them. You see, when they came out of Egypt, right? How could they have gotten anything themselves? They couldn't. Right? God is the one who prepared all these things for them. And Moses gave a full description of all that is needed for the building of the tabernacle. The material for the high priest and the priest were also stipulated. Right? The dressing for the priest and the high priest, so that the people who has this substance by them may bring them, so that the system of worship can be inaugurated. Someone says that tithing is only for the rich, but we have never heard of a rich man or woman commencing tithing, but can name scores who began to tithe when they were poor and became rich. Mr. Crowell, the founder of Quaker Oats Company, Mr. Colgate,
a founder of Colgate Soaps, Mr. Proctor of Ivory Soap fame, Mr. A.A. Hite of Metolithium, Mr. Henry Delany of the Resinol Ointment fame, Mr. Matthias Baldwin, founder of the Baldwin Locomotive Industry, Quaker Oats, Henry P. Crowell, affectionately called the aristocrat of the breakfast table, contracted tuberculosis when a boy and couldn't go to school. After hearing a sermon by D.L. Moody, the young Crowell prayed, "I can't be a preacher, but I can be a good businessman. God, if you will let me make money, I will use it for your service." Under the doctor's advice, Crowell worked outdoors for 7 years and regained his health. He then bought a little run-down Quaker mill at Ravana, Ohio. Within 10 years, Quaker Oats was a household word to millions. Crowell also operated the huge Perfection Stove Company. For 40 years, Henry P. Crowell faithfully gave 60 to 70% of his income to God's causes, having advanced from an initial 10%. The Colgate story, a lad of 16 years named William left home to seek his fortune, all his possessions tied in a bundle, carried in his hand. He met an old canal boat captain. William told him his father was too poor to keep him, and the only trade he knew was soap and candle making. The old man then kneeled and prayed earnestly for the boy and advised, "Someone will soon be a leading soap maker in New York. It can be you as well as someone else. Be a good man. Give your heart to Christ. Pay the Lord all that belongs to Him. Make an honest soap. Give a full pound. I'm certain that you will be a prosperous and rich man." Into the city, he remembered the captain's words, and though poor and lonesome, he united with a church. The first dollar earned, he gave one-tenth to God. 10% of every dollar was sacred to the Lord. Having regular employment, he became a partner and later sole owner of the business. He made an honest soap. You know, we talk about soap opera. That's how the word come from. Sponsors were soap makers, you see. That's how they got this word, soap opera. Right? He soon became a partner and later sole owner of the business. He made an honest soap, gave a full pound, and instructed his bookkeeper to open an account with the Lord of one-tenth of all income. The business grew. So he gave 2-10, 3-10, 4-10, 5-10, and finally he gave all his income. This was William's story. And Laidlaw, Robert A. Laidlaw, the New Zealand businessman who wrote the famous booklet, The Reason Why, that was translated to 30 languages, over 16 million copies, started tithing his $3 weekly salary at the age of 18. 2 years later, he covenanted with God to give 10% of his salary up to a predetermined amount. Above that amount and up to a larger amount, 15%. And above this amount and up to still larger amount, 20%. And above a still larger, 25%. At the age of 25, Laidlaw decided to change the above graduated scale and to give God 50% of all his earnings. 45 years later, he testified, "In spiritual communion and in material things, God has blessed me 100-fold and has graciously entrusted to me a stewardship far beyond my expectations when, as a lad of 18, I started to give God a definite portion of my wages." That's a man of God. And God knows. And God loves a cheerful giver. What do we learn? We said that we learn in our giving the fear of God. We have the fear of God in our heart. We want to let Him know that this He gave to us. If not, we cannot give at all. It's not ours, you know, in that sense. So here, the second thought, the first thought that we have, we said, commandment to offer, and secondly, consecrated to offer, verse 21 to 29, and verse 21. And they came, and everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Notice, it was the Lord who stirred the hearts of the givers, putting in them a willing heart. And it's interesting to observe that every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Gold is a precious metal. And Israel received the gold from the Egyptians. It was God who gave them the gold to give. A pertinent thought. Right? There was not a mindset to hoard what they have, but a mindset to give what God had bestowed upon them. They were stewards rather than owners. They understood this truth. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linens and goat's hair and rams, skins of rams and badgers brought them. And everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with his hands and brought that which they had spun, both blue and of purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. So the precious material needed were also given to them when Israel left Egypt. And this they were instructed to bring, and this material that is needed for the tabernacle. And the women folk were endowed with the skill to spin with their hands the cloths that will make the covering of the tabernacle. And so it is said that the cloth that was spun, the needlework that was spun was so fine, it surpasses all the, you know, when we buy bed sheet, you have different grades of bed sheet, right? It surpasses all the best ones that we have today. Right? God gave them the skill. So fine, right? And so beautiful. well, why did they do it? Because it was for the worship of their God. And God gave to them the wisdom, the skill, right? Because they wanted to worship Him. Of course, His name must be greatly glorified. Right? It was a massive project, a work that would require the cooperation and consecration of all the Israelites. They could see progress being made as they brought the offerings and work on preparing the materials needed for the construction. Conclusion. Faith in action. Thank God for this blessing, or this blessed witness, for our learning. Amen.